Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And as we do every month, we so love to get caught up with our friends at Hastings Family Service. Amy Sutton is here. She's the executive director of HFS. And we also are joined today by Stevie Ritt. She is their community resources coordinator. And I'm so excited to learn more about her. First of all, thank you for coming in. How are both of you?
Great.
Really good.
Good.
I mean, you cannot pass up this weather, right? You know, one of the things for us is when the weather gets cold early, then utility, all the things are a little bit harder.
For
sure.
So
the fact that we're having beautiful weather is fantastic.
I never thought of that part of it as well. Well, that's great, Amy. That's wonderful. So, Stevie, tell us a little bit about you, please. You're the Community Resources Coordinator, which we'll get to in a second, but how long have you been at Hastings Family Service, and what was your background?
I started in Hastings Family Service beginning of January, kind of like at the start of the year. And before that, I worked as an outpatient mental health therapist. I went to graduate school for an LPCC in school counseling, and so I did all of the hours in schoolwork for that. I'm still working on finishing up and buttoning up my LPCC licensure, and we'll use that in the future.
Well, we use it right now, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think one of the beautiful gifts of Stevie joining our staff is she's our primary staff member who works one-on-one with people who come in who are looking for resources, looking for assistance. And so she has that background of being able to just talk with people and talk about what the needs are and does a really beautiful job with that. So we're really lucky to have her and have the background that she has.
Wow, that's awesome. And what did you know about Hastings Family Service before you started?
I mean, it was very serendipitous. I really enjoyed it because I worked at the store at Rivertown Treasures on Saturdays for about 2 years as like a staff person, but like opening the doors and doing the tills and everything for 2 years while I was doing, you know, like finishing grad school and kind of working as a therapist and right after I'd had my son. And then it just kind of happened. I was working at the clinic where I was, and I was like, you know, I'd really love to be more ingrained in my own community. I'd love to be doing something that felt really community oriented. And bam, there was a posting for a community resources coordinator. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should apply.
And when she did, I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. So anyway, we're super, super fortunate to have the staff members that we have right now. And she's just doing a great job with, you know, people don't always come in on their best days.
Of course not.
And that's a really hard thing sometimes to do. But sometimes what people need most is a listening ear. And Stevie is so good at that.
Well, and certainly your background has to help you as you're dealing with people, as Amy said, not at their best.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very hard situation to be in. I think it's so reasonable to not be feeling very good or to feel really sad or to feel really unregulated and be seeking out help. That's a very normal experience.
And it really is so brave, I think, of people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That first step has to be the hardest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage to ask for help. But we hope people know that's why we're there. I mean, help and hope since 1970 means we're
just
there
that.
To just whatever we can do.
So, Stevie, let's hear more about what a community resources coordinator does.
I do a lot of things. So I do the emergency financial assistance.
Okay.
And then I also organize the resources that we have out and that, like, the agencies that we coordinate with.
So I think a lot of times that's the daunting part is there are other services that you can plug into, but people don't know even how to start.
Yeah.
So you're that point person. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, my hope is to be like a very intense, like, point person for other people.
It's nice to be able to have somebody who can help someone with sort of what I would call a warm handoff, right? So that it's not like, here's a phone number, these people might be able to help. It's really like sitting down and talking to people, because sometimes the barrier is just that it's so daunting to mm-hmm. try to get to the right person. And so Stevie helps people do that and has just built even more our community resources and partners so that if it's something we can't do, we probably have a resource that we can refer to and really try to create that warm handoff.
And I love that about so many of the nonprofits in Hastings is that everybody has their niche and you work together
right.
to mm-hmm. just try to get what's out there for people. You're not trying to reinvent the wheel. And it really does help to have a person like you, Stevie, I would assume, that can point people in the right direction. How do you go about staying connected so that you know where to go for help?
Well, I would never recommend going to like any kind of fair or festival with me, because I immediately find the row of resources and I'm like, I'm going to stop at this booth and I'm going to stop at this booth. And what does these people do? And so I do a lot of gathering and I do a lot of like calling out and connecting to other places.
One of our most recent, I think we might have mentioned it, was working with Rise Up Recovery and bringing naloxone in so that we're an access point.
Yeah, we connected to the Steve Remler Hope Network. So we are a naloxone access point. So anybody can come in and ask for injectable intramuscular naloxone kits or a fentanyl test strip.
And again, I don't know that people know that. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And how does that work? How would we go about doing that?
You can just walk in to Hastings Family Service at our reception desk and ask for a kit. And then we also are, Rise Up Recovery is also a naloxone access point in town, and so is the public library.
What else are you working on?
So we recently connected to the Dakota County Public Health Nurses, and we are partnering with them. So in the future, we hosted one vaccine clinic, and we will be able to host more vaccine clinics in the future, which
right
would be
at your site?
Right at our site.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. That's taking away another barrier for people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we also recently partnered with the Animal Humane Society, and we will be doing a vaccine clinic on November 3rd at our site. So
for
in
pets.
Our like lobby for pets.
That's
they
so
will be
nice.
Doing cat and dog vaccines. And then we will be bringing in a pop-up pet food shelf who will also be able to do. So it's called Vinny's Angels Pet Resources. And they will be providing pet food to people who come in and ask for it at that point in time, too. So it's going to be a really cool event.
Yeah, so just some really cool things
absolutely.
That she's connected
and
with and brought in.
You're keeping pets out of shelters, because that's one of the reasons why people surrender their pets, is they become too expensive. And that's like surrendering a member of your family to a lot of people. Their pets mean everything to them. That's wonderful that you are not overlooking that member of our family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that Stevie has really increased for us is just the number of resources, printed resources, brochures, things that we can hand out to people, that we can get to people. And that too is, people can just stop in our neighbor services area for the naloxone, for a variety of brochures, of resources, without even talking to someone, right? It's all right out there, and she's got it organized. And so I think people maybe don't know the sheer number of resources that we have available for senior services or, just particular things. Anyway, we invite people to stop in and see what we have. And if they need something more extensive than that, then they set an appointment with Stevie.
And then you spend how much time with them on average, do you think?
It truly depends. Honestly, there is no average time, because it can be anywhere from, a 5-minute quick conversation to an hour.
It's an important position for us because, again, like I said, for someone coming in and really needing some one-on-one time with a staff member, that's Stevie.
Well, and you not only are an emergency place for a lot of people, however, you want to help people solve the problem so that they can move forward in their life in a positive way. And that's not necessarily easily done, and you do have to spend one-on-one time to try to get to the root of really what is going on and how can we help this long term.
And if it's something we can't do, are there other resources out there that are more sustainable, that create a more sustainable solution? For us, sometimes we may not be able to say yes to whatever it is that they're needing, but we can say instead, let us provide your food and then use those dollars for this. Or when you get a picture of the whole situation, you're able to piece together a few more resources and hopefully find that more sustainable solution.
And that is something I think that is just a shift in how we look at things. And you've certainly taught me that over the years, that if perhaps your brakes go out in your car and you need to make a car repair, you maybe can't help them necessarily with that. But as you said, you can help them with food so they can take their food dollars and put that towards that. It's just a way we look at things differently.
Yeah, and through some of our financial assistance programs, we are able to help maybe with a car repair or a prescription or, you know, a laundry voucher mm-hmm. for someone who's experiencing homelessness and just needs to wash up their clothes. Like, there's so many things that happen back there that people aren't aware of. That's why I always say, like, whatever it is, if you're unsure, you don't know where to turn, then give us a call. The 651-437-7134 number will get you through to someone who can at least get you to the right place.
That's awesome. How are you fixed for volunteers? I know right now our snowbird friends haven't left town.
Well, but, some have.
Oh, some have, I suppose. But once they all flock after, what, Christmas time, then are you going to be looking for some ongoing volunteers? And what is the breadth of what a volunteer might be asked to do at Hastings Family Service?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, volunteers make absolutely everything happen, and it's hard when we have a few leave, but of course, that's why they're volunteers, so to have their lives too. But that's where we are always looking for, even if someone can't do a weekly shift, mm-hmm. if they wanted to do a substitute shift, or maybe they're just covering a couple of months in the winter because in the winter they are here and they don't have as many things because they don't go to the cabin or that kind of thing. So we can really kind of work that out. And we always have shifts available in the food shelf. We always have Rivertown Treasures shifts. We currently have a Monday and a Friday afternoon weekly shift available in Rivertown Treasures that we're trying to fill. Our donation center, we need substitutes there. We need a Wednesday afternoon person for the donation center. And then our food rescue pickup, which happens every morning, we just need substitutes for that, people who are able to drive the van, do some lifting. But we have a resource on our website at hastingsfamilyservice.org that people can go and actually fill out the volunteer application, which indicates kind of what is available. But there's also a grid on there that really tells people, does it involve lifting? What does it involve? How old do you have to be to do it? It kind of gives all the mm-hmm. details so people can see if there's something that's of interest to them. And if they do, you know, I encourage them to fill out that application. And then Maria, our volunteer manager, reaches back to them and sets up a time so they can talk about it and just see what might work.
And that's the beauty also, is that you really do find people that are able to fit into a certain mm-hmm. volunteer duty. Mm-hmm. So that it's going to be sustaining for you.
Yeah.
Somebody finds their calling.
Yeah. Well, and I think, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is we are a service enterprise organization, which means we've gone through a certification with our volunteer program that helps us to utilize volunteers at a high level. It isn't about what we can have them do for us, but also what can we do for them? Why are they there? Is it to utilize a certain talent? Is it to connect with other people? Is it community purpose? Whatever it is, we want to make sure that that's what they're getting from the experience.
Is it because your wife wants you out of the house for a few hours each week? That's another reason probably for people. Whatever it is, you're happy to take them.
That might be me someday.
That was my grandfather.
Yeah, so it's great. And like I said, they make the world go around. It's my favorite part of the entire organization, and we're up to 500 volunteers who are doing 1,000 shifts a month.
Oh my goodness.
So it's a lot of people and a lot of moving parts, but it's a lot of good happening in the community.
Wow, no kidding. Well, and we are talking, of course, in the fall, and so I know you're gearing up for your biggest fundraiser, and that's Gobblegate. Tell us about that, please.
Can you believe we're already talking about Gobblegate and Thanksgiving, right? I don't know.
Time's going way too fast.
As of October 1st, registration will open for Gobblegate, which is our largest fundraiser of the year. You know, when I think about that starting in 1998 and raising a little over $3,000, and last year the gift from Gobblegate was $131,000. They have raised over $2 million over the last 27 years, and it is game-changing for us.
For sure.
Our organization would not look like it does today if it wasn't for that event. So we look forward to it every year. I look forward to it because I don't have to cook on Thanksgiving. I have a reason to not be the cook, and that's good for me and everyone else. So So yeah, registration will open. We hope people will go to gobblegate.com or to our website, and encourage people to watch the Facebook page for Gobblegate, because we'll have some fun video things happening and things coming out. And we still are accepting sponsorships as well. Sponsorships are available really right up until the event, but if people commit to their sponsorship by October 15th, we can give them the maximum amount of marketing and exposure and that type of thing. So really encourage businesses or anyone who's thinking about being a Gobblegate sponsor again this year. And honestly, I think we have 80 some from last year. I mean, it is amazing how this community supports that event and supports Hastings Family Service. So we're looking forward to another good one. But yeah, registration is opening now. And you know, it's kind of all the holiday things are starting.
For sure.
November 2nd, I think is a Sunday, is our Pete Likes Give Thanks concert at Cornerstone Bible Church. It's my favorite way to kick off the holiday season. And then that leads us right into Project Share. Project Share has really become kind of a big program for us. On October 6th, which I think is next Monday, is when families will be able to call in to set up their intake appointment for Project Share. So they're really just calling to set up an appointment. They have to go through that intake appointment before they're really in the program. I think as demand for services is just astronomically increasing, one of the changes that we're making in Project Share this year is that the gift shopping will be for children and youth only. We've always tried to include any adults in the household, but the decision is because we don't want to cap the number of families that we can serve. We want to make sure kids are served. And so the idea is just so that we can serve more families.
So again, all of these things can be found on your website.
HastingsFamilyService.org. Project Share, like I said, they can start calling. People who want to call in, they can start calling on October 6th. We will then sit down with them and we find out kind of what do the kids need? What are they hoping for? We get some wish lists. And then we open up for Adopt a Family on November 12th. So we will, on our website, people will be able to go to the website and adopt families that have been uploaded there. You get a family number, you get the ages and gender of children, and then we send out a wish list to those adopters. And usually we're between 250 to 300 families. We anticipate that's going to be a little bit more this year. But the beautiful thing is every one of those families last year was adopted. It's just such a cool way for neighbors to help neighbors and to just make it a beautiful season for everyone. So I recommend to people, there will be limited appointments. And so call and sign up early for one of those intake appointments if you think you need a little bit of help with holiday assistance this year. And of course, we'll be doing holiday meals as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Stevie. So great to meet you.
So nice to meet you.
Stevie Ritt is the Community Resources Coordinator for Hastings Family Service. And we were also joined today by Amy Sutton, the Executive Director. Thank you both for all that you are doing for our community. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.